Blog Talk Radio.
There's a battle to win. Nations have dropped from 16 to 12 to 8. Now it's down to the championship four at Homestead Miami Speedway. The stage is set. The stakes are high. The glory will live forever. It's time! The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Championship Ford EcoBoost 400. November 22nd. Go to homesteadmiamispeedway.com for tickets. Only one will rise.
Hi, I'm Cameron Haley, driver number 13, Matei Tundra for Thor Sport Racing and the Camping World Truck Series. You're listening to the Pit Stop Radio with Tim Despain.
Live from Talladega, you're in the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Good evening, Dega Nation. I'm Tim Despain, alongside my good SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson. We have a lot to talk about. So at this time, I want to bring Reverend Joe on and let him get everything started. Reverend Joe, come on into the Pit Stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson.
Reverend Joe,
how are
you doing
tonight?
I'm
doing
great.
I'm doing
good.
Good.
I know we got all kinds of breaking news you guys want to get to, but why don't we just get this thing started with some prayer and we can roll on from there.
Amen, Brother Joe. Go ahead.
Lord, we come before you tonight and we ask you to be with us all. We thank you for being there for us. When we need you, all we have to do is turn to you. We thank you for being tolerant with us for our stupid shortcomings and the things we do that we shouldn't and know better. Be with us, please. Bless all of our racing friends. We thank you that no one was injured over the weekend in the different events around the country and at the big event. Some things happened, but your hand was on us and you kept everyone protected. Be with our show. Be with all of us tonight, and please be with our soldiers all over the world. Bless them, bless their families, and all those who protect us. And we thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins so that we would have a way into heaven. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Reverend Joe. Thank you for being our reverend for the Pit Stop Radio with Tim Spanish, Stephen Wilson, and, of course, my wife, Suzanne. if you want to real quick go ahead and let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and your ministry that you have going on.
Well, our website is ontrackwithjesus.org. You can reach us through there. Also, my email address is ontrackwithjesus@aol.com. And my phone number is 951-232-7630. Still could use a few more funds to help with this Phoenix trip, but we're heading in the right direction. And looks like barring any act of nature or anything else weird, we'll be on our way there next week. So I want you guys to have a wonderful show. And we thank you all across the country who listen in and who we hear from on a regular basis.
Thank you very much, Reverend Joe, and look forward to hearing what you encounter there at Phoenix International Raceway here in a couple of weeks, bud.
Absolutely. We'll bring you back a good report. In the meantime,
right. One
other thing is, for people on the West Coast, at Orange Show Speedway this weekend, we've got Dream Figure 8 show. Going to be one heck of a race with guys from all over the country. So come on out and check it out.
Sounds good, Reverend Joe. God bless, be safe, and enjoy the race weekend. I can't wait to see what's going to happen in Texas this coming weekend.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. God bless you. Have a great week.
You too, Reverend Joe. Take care, bud. That was our Reverend, official Reverend of the show, Mr. Reverend Joe from out in Paris, California. And let's bring on, I've nicknamed her Mother Nature. She's been very faithful. Suzanne talks to her every week, gets her to come on. And let's bring on Megan Thomas from ABC 3340 in Birmingham and get our weather forecast for the upcoming race at Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Good evening, Mother Nature. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are y'all doing?
I'm doing good. Love this weather. Love the weather. All three top series are going to be at the Texas Motor Speedway this weekend, a NASCAR Tampa World Truck Series, a NASCAR Sprint Cup, Xfinity Series, and a NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. What's the weather looking like for out there, Mother Nature?
Well, it's going to be pretty good. On Sunday, you'll see partly cloudy skies, high near 63. So it's going to feel great outside Sunday night when the race is still going on. Partly cloudy, low around 48. So I think it's going to be a pretty good weekend. Saturday, there's a slight risk for a shower, but I don't expect it to be very widespread. So just bring the rain gear if you're headed that direction. And you may run into a delay, but I wouldn't expect it to be a lot. But the main race is on Sunday, so you're looking at a partly sunny sky.
Megan, that sounds great. And I've just been reminded by my darling wife, me and Reverend Joe, we got caught up in some stuff. I don't know if you've seen where Kenneth Cook from Thunder 927 FM, I'm pretty sure you know, he passed away unexpectedly Friday night. Alias Rufus T. Raspberry, and if we can, Megan, can we do a moment of silence right quick for our good friend Rufus T. Raspberry?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you, Megan. I got lost track and everything with all this NASCAR stuff going on, but anyway, real quick, Megan, let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and all that stuff. You got to go quick.
Okay, you can follow me at Facebook at Meteorologist Megan Thomas or on Twitter at MegTom_WX.
Megan, thank you very much. And thank you for being the official Mother Nature of the Pit Stop. Funny, Stephen Wilson.
You're welcome. Y'all have a good week.
All right, you too, Megan. Talk to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
I got to get we've got to talk about this. Stephen Wilson, CLSpeedwayDigest.com, alongside here. Stephen, we have some breaking news out of NASCAR, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let me, before you get started, me and you talked earlier, this is going to be a humdinger. Let me get my button going, and I'll turn you loose, brother, okay? Stephen Wilson, CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com. Breaking news, brother. Go ahead and tell it. We've been waiting on it. We knew it was going to happen. We just didn't know what it was going to be.
Yeah, we all knew that NASCAR was going to come down at some point and have something to say about the incident involving Matt Kenseth and Joey Logano at the Half Mile of Mayhem this past weekend at Martinsville Speedway. Earlier tonight, about an hour ago, NASCAR finally dropped the hammer on this one. Matt Kenseth, driver of the number 20 car, has been suspended by NASCAR for the next two races at Texas Motor Speedway and Phoenix International Speedway based on the behavior policy. NASCAR has suspended him for the completion of the next two NASCAR Sprint Cup Series championship events and also placed him on probation for a six-month period following the issuance of the penalty notice. Steve O'Donnell went on to the NASCAR Executive Vice President for Chief Racing Development Operations, said, based on our extensive review, we have concluded that the number 20 driver, who is no longer in the chase, intentionally wrecked the number 22 driver, a chase-eligible contender, who was leading the race at the time. The number 20 car was 9 laps down and eliminated the number 22 car's opportunity to continue to compete in the race. Additionally, we factored aspects of safety into our decision, and we also, the fact of the new chase elimination format puts a premium on each and every race. These actions have no place in NASCAR, per NASCAR. This is what they have concluded this event that took place this past weekend at Martinsville Speedway. Additionally, NASCAR has went on to say that Danica Patrick, who was also involved into an incident with David Gillen earlier on in the event with a similar situation by intentionally wrecking David Gillen on a separate incident, has been fined $50,000 for the same exact behavior policy that Matt Kenseth has been suspended under, assessed a 25 penalty championship 3-point loss, and placed on probation until December 31st of this year. Matt Kenseth and Joe Gibbs Racing tonight have said that they will file an immediate appeal on this, and per NBCSN, tonight they say that Eric Jones, if the appeal does not go in or does not go through and they are unable to appeal this successfully, will be in the car for this weekend at Texas and in the car for Phoenix International Raceway the next weekend after that.
And Stephen, Suzanne was asking me right before we come on live, who did I think would be in the car? And I said, with no shadow of doubt, I'm pretty sure that they'll put Eric in the car. You think that was a good decision?
Well, Eric Jones obviously isn't coming back to KBM next year. They've already gone ahead and they've announced their lineup for 2016. JGR already has a plan for him coming up throughout the series, so I'm sure that this plan falls right into what they have forthcoming in his career next year. He will be most likely in a full-time JGR Xfinity Series ride. He's already been in the car for Denny Hamlin earlier this year. As we know, he was flown back in at Bristol because of an issue with Denny Hamlin's neck. And, this will be an opportunity for him to continue moving through and getting some more experience in these cars as furthering his career. Unfortunately, with JGR, there's nowhere for him to go in a Sprint Cup Series car, so, it'll have to be in an affiliate team much later on in his career. That's if Matt Kenseth or somebody like that doesn't retire beforehand. Matt Kenseth is, I believe, 44 years old, so maybe that's the plan, is that later on down the line that Eric Jones will take over the number 20 car in the subsequent years here in the forthcoming number of years. But, Eric is a guy that, yeah, he's learning a lot. He's shown that he can compete. He's contending for a championship right now in the Camper World Truck Series. He's right there on the cusp, battling with Tyler Reddick and Matt Kraft in that series. So I think he's a guy that, we can put him in the car and, get that experience out there. As far as what he's going to be able to accomplish in this race, I think finishing the race and being able to get that experience in the Sprint Cup cars – is what you can really expect out of him. I don't think that he's going to go and be a major factor in any of these races by any means. He's going to be a rookie in these races, but it's the experience factor, if nothing else, to put a trustworthy guy that is very meticulous and very methodical in the way that he races these races, and especially somebody that's trying to learn and come through his career in NASCAR.
The number to call in is 215-383-3681. If you want to call in, NASCAR just come out with a penalty report for Matt Kenseth and also Danica Patrick. Steven just broke it, and if you want to call in and discuss that, Steven and I have talked about it. We're going to put the Camper World Truck Series. We'll talk about that later. We'll talk about the finishing there, the finishing at for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series also. And our guest at the bottom of the hour, we have President, name is Homestead Speedway, Mr. Matt Beecher. He'll be coming on also. But, Steven, we got my good friend Todd Beasley here. Todd, you know, he always calls in. Let's bring Todd in and see what he has to say about the news that you just broke in the pit stop with Tim Spain and Steven Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Todd, how you doing tonight, bud?
I am doing great, guys. How are you guys?
I'm doing good. And just real quick, Suzanne told me, you won the Timothy Peters signed hero car last week. She just put it in the mail yesterday. Sorry about the delay, but it is definitely on the way.
It's okay. I'm not worried. You guys are awesome.
Well, thank you very much, Todd, and we appreciate you for being a loyal listener and follower and everything. Todd, do you have anything to say about what Steven said about the penalty report? Do you think it was too harsh coming down from Steve O'Donnell in NASCAR, or do you think they did the right thing?
Well, we knew it was coming. And, you know, NASCAR handing this out, I think NASCAR should have been a little bit sooner, so then the proper people would have been nailed first. Then that might have prevented it. But NASCAR chose a wait, and they knew it was coming. Everybody knew it.
Yeah, now, and you know, Todd, just like, I'm sorry, go ahead, Todd, go ahead.
Now, I heard Steven say that Matt was out for two of the races.
Steven, go ahead. Let Todd know what all, if he didn't get to hear it all. Can you sort of do a quick overgo of it?
Yeah, Matt Kenseth, per NASCAR, has been suspended for the next two Sprint Cup Series points races, the next one at Texas this weekend and the following weekend at Phoenix.
Who's filling in for him?
Go ahead, Steve.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear Todd.
I asked who's filling in for Matt?
Eric Jones will be in the car for Matt Kenseth. Joe Gibbs Racing did immediately release a statement tonight saying that they will appeal the penalties immediately. NASCAR has yet to receive a formal appeal. As soon as they do, they did say that they will try and push the appeal process through as fast as possible, based on the race this weekend at Texas. If Joe Gibbs Racing fails to appeal the penalty successfully, Eric Jones will be in the car this weekend. But there is also another appeal that Joe Gibbs Racing can. If they are unsuccessful of going to NASCAR, they can appeal to the Motorsports Appeal Commission, which is set up also as a secondary appeals process. If they fail there, then there is no more appeals for Joe Gibbs Racing, and Matt Kenseth would have to sit out those two events as he would exhaust his appeals process.
Well, we all know about the behavioral thing, you know, on the track, and, you know, And them sticking Eric Jones in, that was a good choice right there. I agree with you guys. I mean, one heck of a driver. Kid's got talent, and he can drive. So if he has to fill in for Matt, I would say he's the person for it.
Yeah, Eric Jones, like I said, Eric Jones is a young guy coming up through the series. He's contending for that championship in the NASCAR Camping World Series right now with three races to go. He's going against Tyler Reddick and Matt Crafton right now. Yeah, that championship battle is so close, really. Call with three events to go. Unfortunately, you know, he had a little bit of a problem there at Martinsville this past weekend. I believe he finished 10th out there. But he's not too far back in that championship. He's still in hunt, but he's a guy that, you know, he's already been put in a Sprint Cup Series car. He was called in earlier this year to fill in for Denny Hamlin at Bristol when his neck problem occurred about middle part of the race when the rain delay came in. And he's a guy, I think, that he wants to learn, and this is the only way that he's going to be able to learn is to put him in these cars. Unfortunately for Joe Gibbs Racing, they're already maxed out with their four cars. So for him to be able to get in these cars and be able to run a couple events like this, especially somewhere like Texas, which he's got a lot of an experience on. He's going to run the Truck Series race already, and then we're going to go to Phoenix, which is going to have a Truck Series event also. You know, so he's going to have a lot of experience, you know, being in various types of cars already. I don't, like I said earlier, I don't think that he's going to be a major threat in these events being in the car. This is more about him gaining the experience a lot and getting that seat time so that when he does move up into the Sprint Cup Series in the next couple of years, that he's got that, you know, he's already got the seat time in. He's got a little bit of experience on a couple of different racetracks out there, Bristol already, and then now he's going to go to Texas, obviously, and then Phoenix the next week. So, you know, that it's good for a very young kid like that to get these opportunities to be able to go out there and race a couple of events. Unfortunately, this is probably not the way he wanted to do so, but unfortunately, this is the hand that he's been dealt, and I'm sure Joe Gibbs Racing will just give him the best quality equipment just like they would Matt Kenseth, regardless of the fact.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And Todd, this is Tim here. I can tell that you're driving. We're getting a little bit of air feedback, but we can still hear you. And I'm gonna ask this to you both. Me and Steven have not discussed this. With this penalty going down, I mean, you know, even though Joe Logano got he got deliberately wrecked there at Martinsville. Everybody knew it was coming. I knew it was going to come at Martinsville. I knew it wouldn't happen here at Dagan. But Joey is, I mean, he's got six wins on the seat. Six wins. But he's in eighth in the point, 38 out. I'll go to Todd first. Todd, do you think Joey can, which, you know, the obvious thing is if you win, you're in. Do you think Joey can win at either Texas or Phoenix and go ahead and click his ticket into the final round there at Homestead?
You know, people will be mad at me for saying it, but, yeah, I believe that Joey can do it.
Okay. Steven, what do you think? Which I'm pretty sure, you know, 38 out, that's almost a whole race. He's going to just about have to win to get in at it.
Yeah, I mean, he's in really like Kevin Harvick was going into Dover. He's got to get into that. He's got to win and you're in kind of situation, even though that is the first event already at Martinsville. Unfortunately, he's going to have to make those points up, and he's going to have to make those points up very, very quickly. That win is going to have to come, you know, at Texas or at Phoenix, obviously. He's shown with six wins already. He won three in the contender round. He swept the entire contender round on several different types of tracks out there with Talladega and a couple mile and a half race tracks out there. So it's not and then he's also won Daytona earlier this year and a couple other tracks out there. So I mean this isn't probably somewhere new for him. Penske Motorsports and Roush Yates have put together a program over there this year that I don't think that they're a team where we really have to think too hard about them. We were really talking in the summertime, late summer, heading into the chase, that Joe Gibbs Racing was really starting to outpace Penske Racing by a lot. They had won something like 11 out of 13 races coming into the chase. They had really turned up the heat. And now all of a sudden they've started to crumble, and it's just been penalties. It's been one problem after the other. This obviously is really hurting their chances. They've got a couple. They've got, you know, Carl Edwards that's still into this thing, but he doesn't seem to be that much of a threat into getting something done. He's really going to have to make a major change coming into Texas and Phoenix to get himself in. I think this is going to come down, obviously, with Kevin Harvick, and maybe somebody else is going to be the ones that are going to win out here. Harvick won last year at Phoenix and clicked his ticket into Homestead. He waited all the way last year and was in that kind of moment of, you know, desperation, just like he was in Dover a couple of weeks ago to click his ticket. And obviously, he won the championship last year. So I think he's there again. I don't think that Joe Gibbs Racing has just kind of fallen apart this late in the season, especially in the chase, and they just really haven't shown the championship caliber to be able to do something. And Penske Racing has whatever they were doing during the summer season just, you know, they fell apart, and now they've kind of regained that steam again and are at the top of their game. Brad Keselowski yet again, even though that he hasn't really seemed to have done much, he's running very well. He's in the eliminator round. And fortunately, he was in a situation with Matt Kenseth this past weekend, too, where those two got into it. So, you know, unfortunately, both Penske cars got into an incident with Matt Kenseth this past weekend at Martinsville, and they both got to dig themselves out of a hole in the next two races.
And Steven, I'm going to stir up another can of worms if I can. I'm going to call it the Michael Waltrip Racing Deflate Gate at Richmond International, if I can. I might get some criticism, but I want to stir it up. Do you think, you know the deal, everybody knows the deal with Bowyer and everybody, and NASCAR went back and they put Jeff Gordon in the chase, which that was going into the chase deal. Do you think if Joey Logano does not make the chase, do you think NASCAR should put him in? I mean, not the chase, make the final round at Homestead?
No. I think that would damage the chase to a point that the integrity is too damaged that they wouldn't be able to take the heat from this. The championship this year, and especially the way that everything has played out this year, I think that NASCAR has really clicked on something that has been, even if we peel back the layers of what happened last week at Talladega, or 2 weeks ago at Talladega, what has happened at Martinsville with Kenseth and Logano, and what happened at Chicagoland to start this whole deal, I think if you peel back these layers, the chase this year has been more positive and has created a better atmosphere in the running of the chase and really putting the win in your end and just the what NASCAR designed this chase to be at the forefront of a champion has been better than it has been in the past. And I think by going back and saying this late in the game we add somebody else, I think that just kind of damages it to the point that there's really no way of, you know, coming back from what has come out in the majority of the good that has come out of the chase this year.
And Jeff Gordon was on SiriusXM NASCAR Channel 90 earlier. I got to listen to some of it. He made the statement that it is just, it's so intense the way NASCAR has made the chase. And I'm not dogging NASCAR at all. I love how they've done this because, you know, back in the day, I think we've talked about it, when they used to have the final race at Atlanta here, or just right across the border here from me, you might come to Atlanta and you done crown the champion three races before that. But like Jeff Gordon said, you know, he said he don't blame Matt for what he did. You know, it's so intense now. There's so much stuff going on. And in the moment, you know, it was just payback and just bottom line. So what's your take on what Gordon said? Steve, I don't know if you actually listened to his interview. I'm serious.
No, I did miss that. But I do think that the stress is what has really crippled Joe Gibbs Racing. They had four cars. They had four cars, obviously, in the chase, and they couldn't handle it, and that's why they fell apart. They just were not the caliber of an organization yet to put four cars in there. They were definitely not a Hendrick Motorsports to be able to handle that. And putting their cars in and keeping the team contained enough to work themselves through the chase all the way through and contend for that championship. Obviously Matt wasn't very happy at what happened all the way back in Chicago. He wasn't happy throughout this whole experience. And unfortunately, he took it out the wrong way. Is this pure NASCAR? Obviously, this is pure Saturday night NASCAR short track racing that you would see beating and banging. And this is what the fans love. And I'm not dogging the fans at all, because this is what NASCAR grew up on. Unfortunately, Matt Kenseth took a 3,500-pound race car and used it as a weapon on a racetrack and took a leader of a race out, damn well intentionally knowing what he was doing, just for some payback.
Yeah, but at least he didn't do it at Talladega, like we had talked about. But Robin Pemberton made the quote a couple of years back, boys have at it. Stephen, not, just me and you, I'm just throwing this out there for discussion. It's sort of like a double-edged sword, am I right?
Well, it is a double-edged sword, but when Robin Pemberton did make that statement, he didn't make the statement in the fact of saying, take a 3,500-pound race car and go out there and slam it broadside into somebody at full steam. This meant the using the chrome horn, getting somebody out the way kind of thing. This wasn't meant to go out there and just do what Matt Kenseth did. This was more of the beating and banging, show your emotions, and, the type of racing that we're become accustomed to at the short track Saturday nights, not the taking a 3,500-pound race car and using it as a weapon, because that's uncalled for. No matter, you're supposed to be the best race car drivers in the world. You're supposed to go out there and act like a kid on a racetrack with a weapon. That's absolutely uncalled for.
Yes, sir. I would definitely agree, Stephen. And Stephen, we've got our guest coming on right now. We got him waiting. I want to bring a president of Miami Homestead Speedway, Mr. Matt Burchard, in the pit stop, Tennis Payne and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Matt, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good. Matt, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule. I know coming up on Ford Championship in just a few weeks, have y'all got everything ready, or everybody still working on everything?
Well, this is people ask me that all the time, like, what do you do the rest of the year? And I always say, well, how long did it take you to plan your wedding? And, a lot of people say, 6 months, 12 months, whatever. I mean, it's like planning a wedding with 100,000 people. So we're actually already working on the 2016 race now, along with getting ready for 2015. So we've been working on this one for about a year and a half, and it's fun seeing it all come together. And when you come off of weekends like we just had, it makes it even better. We're really pumped.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Suzanne and I, we talked about coming down this week, this year, but we've done been through so many races, man. But I think we're going to try to make it down next year. I've definitely got to come down for championship weekend. But, again, I want to hand you over to Stephen Wilson, SpeedwayDigest.com. He was a big help in getting you coming on the show. We very appreciate it. And after Stephen gets done, if you can, I've got a couple questions for you, if that's okay, Matt.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, go ahead, Steve.
Matt, Miami Homestead Speedway, last race of the year, obviously it's the preeminent track that you're going to crown a champion down there, and we take nine races that we come off with a couple different rounds of knocking some drivers out there, and then we get four drivers. you know, talk a little bit about how you guys prepare as you see the drivers week in and week out as we go through the contender rounds and the eliminator rounds. And you guys, as you prepare through those different rounds of the NASCAR chase leading into your championship race there for championship weekend.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a long run up to really do it right. You know, one of the things I always tell the team is it's okay to make mistakes, but we're always going to make new mistakes. We're not going to make the same ones over and over. So in order to do that, you know, there's a ton of preparation and solid execution that has to go into place. You know, we'll, from a promotion standpoint, you know, we put our tickets on sale back in the spring and we develop an advertising campaign over the summer. But then what we do is once we get out of Richmond in September, you know, we start laying out plans of, you know, for each of the 16 drivers that's in the chase, whether it's, you know, ways that we're going to reach out to their fans directly, their fan clubs, ticket packages that involve those drivers, you know, might be advanced media opportunities in market. And then literally, as people advance, especially now that we're at this stage of the game, we're able to pull the trigger on some of those things and put some really cool things into motion. I mean, obviously we have this year the awesome storyline of, you know, Jeff Gordon's final race as a full-time driver. And so we had an incredible ticket package that we were running through most of the fall and summer that actually sold out yesterday with his blocking into the chase at Martinsville. But, you know, in addition to that, you know, as another guy qualifies for Ford Championship weekend, you know, we'll put even more out there, whether it's social media, email blasts, you know, reaching out to their fan bases and, you know, making sure that, you know, they've got a place to come watch the race. And the reality is, you know, we're getting short. I mean, we've got right now we're sitting here with pretty much everything sold with the exception of some grandstand seats, which will probably be gone by this time next week. And it's just an incredible story and something we're really proud of. The team's done a great job. And, I mean, let's face it, we've got an incredibly racy track. You can run all three grooves here no matter how your car is handling. We've got progressive banking. We were one of the first tracks to do it. The racing's incredible. The backdrop's incredible. Whether you like going to the Keys and fishing, hanging out down there, or you like going downtown and all the things that South Beach and downtown Miami have to offer, it's just South Florida is an awesome place to be in November, and we're going to have a packed house having a lot of fun.
And, you know, as far as crowning a champion there, you guys being the very last race of the year, you kind of set the tone for the next season out there for – that not only the champion, but for the following season after that. What do you guys do to leave that impression on the fan to want more the next season, and knowing that they've got 365 days or whatever the number of days is to know that they want to come back to your track for the next Ford Championship weekend out there and really experience something new or experience the level of you know, what you guys are integrating into the fan experience out there. Obviously, this year you've got Tim McGraw out there to do a pre-race concert. But what is that level that you guys just build upon year after year to kind of reinvigorate the fan to come back to the following year?
Well, you know, I think it starts with the basics. And it starts with taking care of people and doing it right, making sure everybody – you know, gets into their into the facility with a, you know, greeted with a smile, you know, a pleasant welcome. And from there, it's about execution. And then to your point, always trying to weave in these, you know, extraordinary things. You know, a few years ago, somebody came up with the idea, well, you know, we should really be, you know, really rewarding the fans that buy tickets all 3 days. And so we worked really hard with NASCAR and we put together a program with them where anyone that buys tickets all 3 days actually gets to go down onto the racetrack after each night's race and celebrate with that night's champion. So the Camping World Truck Series champion on Friday night, the Xfinity Series champion on Saturday, and then, of course, the big one on Sunday. So, you know, that's something that we started. We started, you know, the pre-race concerts about 4 years ago. And each year we try to do something a little bit bigger, a little bit better. I mean, the announcement we made with Tim McGraw last week just was huge. I mean, I've never seen a reaction like that. I used to promote races in Richmond back when we had those Chevy Rock and Roll races, and those were always enormous. But Ford Championship Weekend now has become known for fantastic music acts, you know, big names, big name celebrities. And that's the other cool thing, because we're in Miami, you know, fans walking around the racetrack, they're going to see celebrities from television shows and movies, and because this is where a lot of them live and this is where a lot of them play. If they don't live here full time, they spend a lot of time down here, and we bring them down to the track. So there's all kinds of different ways that we're always trying to up our game. It's incumbent upon us to work effectively with NASCAR, and we have an incredible relationship with NASCAR, not to mention our awesome partners at Ford. You know, we just announced a 10-year deal with the Ford guys last summer that started this year. They are so key to our success and always bringing new ideas. I mean, a couple of years ago, they had a zip line in their display out in the Midway. I mean, who would have ever thought of something like that? And, you know, they're bringing celebrities forward. They're bringing different ideas, fun things for fans to do. And, you know, we always try to surprise people, too. We still have a few wrinkles up our sleeve that we haven't announced yet that we will be announcing, you know, with a feature film that we'll be integrating into the race weekend as well. That's going to be a lot of fun for kids. And it's just always about trying to find new things, new exciting things, and then, you know, doing it right, sending people, like you said, into the off season with a great experience and, you know, wanting more for the next year.
And with this, obviously, it's always hard for NASCAR fans to leave out of there knowing that this is Jeff Gordon's last season. He locked himself in this past weekend. He's going to contend that drive for five this final year in his race. What is like the strangest part about, you know, being there at Miami and knowing that, and not necessarily just Jeff Gordon, but we've got other drivers that have announced retirements over the years and are going to retire in the upcoming years. But what is like the strangest part, or like the weirdest part of knowing that your track is like the retiring point of a particular driver that's coming through, and what you guys have to gear up for and kind of promote that and really just kind of honor them and their commitments and their accomplishments through NASCAR and what they've done over the years, and especially this year with Jeff Gordon that has now locked himself in?
Well, I'll be candid. The weirdest part for me personally is that I'm the same age as a lot of these guys. I'm 45, and, you know, I think Jeff's 44, Tony's 45. He retires next year, and so I'm kind of scratching my head wondering, you know, what I'm, you know, how are these guys all retiring? I got another 20 years to go. I'm a little bit jealous. But as far as, you know, sending these guys off the right way, I mean, there's a lot of uniqueness and a lot of interesting things about promoting a race at the very end of the season. You know, I've been fortunate enough to work at places like Rockingham and Darlington and Richmond, and, you know, each of those places sort of played its own role on the schedule. And, you know, Homestead Miami Speedway, you know, is known for its championships. It's known, you know, for the, you know, incredible things that Ford brings to the table. But, you know, to your point, there's other sort of natural extensions with, you know, it being the last race for a lot of guys when they retire. And, you know, we're always walking that fine line of honoring a person who's retiring, but still upholding that championship. And, you know, I think a lot about, I'm a Detroit guy originally. I grew up in suburban Detroit, and I remember we had a Super Bowl there, I don't know, 5 or 6, 7 years ago. And Jerome Bettis, who was a Detroit native, was playing for the Steelers, and the Super Bowl happened to be in Detroit that year. And, you know, it was a really nice kind of side story that, you know, he was retiring in his hometown in the Super Bowl with a championship. But, you know, the story was the championship. And so, you know, that's what I'm always sort of challenging the team with is, you know, we've got this great story and Jeff retiring, but we've got to make sure that we're still promoting the championship. I mean, ultimately, that's what we're all about. And that's really what the fans are coming down for. So to see Jeff lock it in this weekend and know that we can sort of tell both stories has really been a nice thing. And you know, but make no mistake, I mean, we've had we had two sets of plans. We had a plan that we were going to, you know, work on and deliver if he was out of the championship four. And we had another plan that if he was in the championship four. As you can imagine, Jeff's going to be hyper-focused, you know, very, very intent on, you know, winning that fifth championship. And so that takes away some of the sort of what I would say silly or sort of fun things that we were going to do. But what it does, though, is it sets the stage for what arguably will be, in my opinion, potentially the greatest story in NASCAR ever, if he can seal the deal on this. And, you know, I mean, you know, you think of some great stories in sports. I just mentioned Jerome Bettis. You talk about Cal Ripken, you know, hitting a home run in his final at-bat. I mean, to see a guy, you know, win his fifth championship potentially in his final race after not winning a championship in more than a decade, I mean, it's just that if that plays out, it's going to be unbelievable. And then when you think about that's only one story. I mean, we've got, you know, Logano and what happened to him this week and the tear he's been on and how he got shortchanged a year ago with that issue with the jack and the car falling off with, I don't know, what was it, 20 or 30 laps to go. He was contending all the way. You know, Kevin Harvick, I mean, that guy has been just ultimately clutch. I mean, I remember we had a test last August, a year ago August, or no, excuse me, it was October. It was actually this week a year ago. We had a tire test, and Kevin came down, and I was talking to him after the test, and, you know, he was in pretty rough shape after Martinsville last year, if you remember. He basically needed a win at either Texas or Phoenix to move on. And we were talking, and he looked at me, and he said, Matt, I'm going to win Phoenix, and I'm going to come back here, and I'm going to win the championship. And, you know, he called his shot, and then he delivered again in Dover this year, and then squeaked by there in Talladega. So, I mean, you've got all these incredible stories. You have guys like Carl Edwards. You know, you may remember in 2011, he tied with Tony, and on the tiebreaker lost the championship. He literally lost the championship by about 50 feet, or what the equivalent of one pass on the racetrack in the final 10 races. I mean, it's just there's so many compelling stories to who can, you know, make that championship four. And the fact that we've already got Jeff Gordon locked in is just a promoter's dream. We're absolutely thrilled.
And my final question to you is that obviously you had just talked a little bit about your 10-year agreement with Ford. And as a promoter and working with somebody like Ford and the technological advancements, obviously, you as a promoter trying to reach out and really bring that into the racetrack. We see so many other racetracks. Obviously, in Daytona, they've got a $400 million upgrade going on there that they're just getting ready to unveil and just really complete that out this upcoming season. But you as, you know, Homestead, you've got a great partner there that has been at the forefront of technology for so many years in their automobiles. How much do you guys work with them, especially on the technological side, to really invigorate the fans and really work with them to kind of bridge that gap into the millennial age of your fans and use that partnership in the track to on a technological standpoint?
Well, you know, we're always looking for ways to do that. I mean, it's we've got a lot of different STEM programs, science, technology, engineering, and math that we work with local schools on. We've got, you know, 30-some-odd elementary and middle schools that we work with, and a lot of the content we provide to those schools is through things that we get through Ford. I mean, I think as the car on track continues to develop and evolve, you know, next year with the, you know, the glass dashboard, and, you know, now that we're running, you know, ethanol fuel, and, you know, as the car continues to evolve and become more like many of the cars on the street, that technological bridge, as you called it, will only, you know, improve. But you know, the guys at Ford Racing are switched on, and you know, it's pretty cool to work with them, because, you know, a lot of people think of us in Ford as, you know, working together in NASCAR, but, you know, they're running all kinds of different forms of motorsports, and, you know, so, you know, they'll bring in a Ford focused rally car, you know, Ken Block's Global Rallycross car, and, you know, integrate that into the NASCAR weekend, and, you know, the kids love that, or, you know, drifting, or, you know, now they're heavily involved in sports cars and the rollout of the Ford GT. You know, I would, you know, I'm not going to reveal any secrets, but, you know, I'd look for that to be maybe integrated into the Ford Championship weekend here in a couple of weeks somehow. So there's a lot of cool things. A lot of it applies to the millennials and the youth, like you're talking about, but a lot of it's just for people that are, you know, car nuts like me. I mean, I grew up in the Detroit area. Almost everybody I knew had a parent that either worked for an automaker or an auto supplier. It's sort of in your DNA when you grew up there. And, you know, for a kid from Detroit like me to be able to have the biggest partner I work with, Ford Motor Company, and to be able to interact with guys like Edsel Ford and Raj Nair and Tim Dewar and all these great guys, it's, it's surreal. There's times I literally am sitting around a table and I think to myself, I mean, you know, I just can't believe this. And it's, you know, a real source of pride for me. And, you know, a couple of years ago, Brad Keselowski, another Detroit guy, won a championship for Roger Penske, who's got tremendous ties to Detroit. I mean, it's a really cool thing. So, you know, there's certainly a lot of crossover with the technology and things, but just for me personally, it's not just a pleasure. It's a privilege and something that I hold very, very dear.
Well, Matt, I appreciate you taking the time, and I'm going to throw you back over to Tim. I'm sure he's got a couple of questions, and good luck on Ford Championship weekend out there.
Great. Well, hopefully we'll see you next year. What's going on, Tim?
Thanks, Matt. Just one quick question. I know we've kept you over your time. NASCAR only comes to Miami Homestead one race every year, which is the final one, which y'all put on an awesome show, very awesome show. I just want to tell you that. But they've implemented this new low downforce package. Mm-hmm. How do you think it will affect racing next year in 2016 there at your track, Miami Homestead?
Well, I've been on record, and I'll continue to beat the drum that I think we have the raciest track on the circuit. I've worked at some places that are pretty racy. Rockingham was unbelievable. Certainly Darlington races unlike anywhere else. And then, of course, Richmond. I mean, it's, you know, the perfect size, perfect speed, perfect shape, you know, for a short track, in my opinion. But when I got down here, I was pleasantly surprised. I remember going out after my first I always go out Monday morning after the race and just kind of look at the track and just sort of, you know, take it all in and try to remember what it was all about and sort of burn that into my brain. And I was shocked. The first time I was I went out there was 2010. It was the Monday after the race, and literally the wall was black from the entry to one all the way to the exit at two, and the same at the other end in three and four. Reminded me a lot of Darlington that way. But what really blew my mind, and something that we see every single year, is the track is literally rubbered in from the apron right up to the wall. It isn't just a groove and a half or two grooves of racing. It's, you know, three wide racing. It's, you know, because of the progressive banking, you can start out at the beginning of the run running down low. And if your car starts, you know, tightening up on you, you can run up high or vice versa. I mean, it doesn't matter what your car's doing, what you've done to your tires. You can find a quick way around, which is why I think it's the perfect place to crown a champion. It's not about, you know, just the car or, you know, who had the best engine package. It's the driver's track. And so, you know, the fact that we're now going to have the low downforce next year, it can only get better. We've got a test in December where we're going to see it all, you know, come to life and you know, for real. But I have no doubt that it's just going to produce even better racing. If we can take what we've already got now and set the cars up in such a way that these guys have to lift a little going into the turn, it's just going to make it that much more competitive. And, you know, the cream will still rise to the top. And it's, you know, a place that's always going to be an incredible place for champions. I mean, I talk to these guys a lot, and the first thing they always say is never pave that track. And, you know, I think just the way that track bakes in the sun down here in South Florida, you know, we don't have the harsh winters that even you guys do in Alabama, let alone places like Michigan and Watkins Glen. I mean, it's just sits there baking in the sun all year long, and it just makes a racing surface that the drivers absolutely love.
Yeah, I will definitely agree, Matt. You know, everybody always says once that track sits, every track gets character. But, Matt, I know we went over your time, and Stephen covered just about whatever I wanted to. But just want to let you throw out there where everybody can purchase tickets to the Ford Championship Weekend at Homestead Miami Speedway, how to get in touch with that. And also, do you have anything going on for, like, veterans or anything like that?
Yeah, we absolutely do. We have specials for the military. All you need to do is give us a call and mention that. We've got all kinds of different ticket packages. We have opportunities to get down on the racetrack and be up close during pre-race, which will include that Tim McGraw concert we were talking about earlier. You buy tickets all 3 days. You can get down on the racetrack each night, which is pretty cool just to be down there, let alone, you know, have the champagne and beer and confetti and everything else all over you. It's really, really a good time. And the best way to learn all that information or to seek out more information is our website, which is homesteadmiamispeedway.com. Again, that's homesteadmiamispeedway.com. We have also have, you know, Twitter and Facebook and all kinds of other social media channels. If you want to talk to somebody live, we've got a phone number, 866-409-RACE. That's 866-409-7223. We've got people there from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern time every single day. So, you know, if you're interested, now's the time to call. I'm telling you, we will be out of tickets this time next week. Yes, I've been in this business 16 years, and coming off that Jeff Gordon win on Sunday, yesterday was the single biggest ticket sales day in Homestead Miami Speedway's 20-year history. So the tickets were already going fast, but they are going even faster than I would have guessed. And that'll be our second straight sellout. Last year was the first after, you know, the tough economic time that we all went through. And it's, you know, it's just going to be an incredible weekend. The buzz is in the air. The drivers are more tense. It's an environment and a level of intensity and electricity that, you know, I've never seen before at a racetrack. We have a really cool pre-race intro for not only, you know, the 39 drivers in the race, but the four contenders. We bring in Buffer. If you're a UFC fan, he's the ring announcer for the UFC, and he comes in and does a great job introducing those final four. Just a really, really different kind of event in a really incredible part of the country where it's going to be 80 degrees and no humidity and just bright blue sunny skies. It's a great place to be. HomesteadMiamiSpeedway.com. I encourage everyone to come down. It's not too late to plan, and it's the weekend before Thanksgiving, so come on down, guys, and have some turkey at my house, stay the week, and do a little fishing in the Keys. It's not a bad way to spend a holiday.
That sounds good, Matt. And again, like I said, I'll get with Russell Brennan. And Stephen has talked about it too. We were going to try to come this year, but we all gathered up and went to too many tracks, and everything just got going too fast. But we might try to make it down there next year. Myself, my wife, Suzanne,
well,
and his wife.
Well, you give me a call. You go through Russell. You may not get taken care of quite as well. That guy, him and I go way back. I was at Rockingham when he was at Darlington, and by the time I went into Darlington, he was leaving to go work for Jeff Burton. And I'll tell you what, that guy is a legend. And it's like having diplomatic immunity hanging out with that guy in South Carolina. He is something else. And the things he used to get drivers to do. Jim Hunter was our boss at the time, and he'd send Russell into the garage area with the video camera and ask drivers like Dale Earnhardt to do tongue twisters. And I think anybody else would have probably got smacked upside the head, but Russell always got it done. And I'll tell you what, he's got some good stories. I hope he's sharing them with you guys.
He is, Matt. Yeah, we've had him on the show. And we've been sort of letting him lay low, because I know you know how it is on race weekend. What did they get? He was running around like nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. But,
yeah,
Russell's
yeah.
a great guy. Grant also. Everybody's helped us with the radio thing. But anyway, man, I don't want to keep you. I know your time is limited, but we will definitely try to get down there next year. I'll get Stephen and them, and we definitely want to make it to four championship weekend next year at Miami Homestead.
We'll do it. Let's plan it now, and we'll see you here in a year. Tune in a couple weeks, and look for an incredible show. One thing I'll promise you, the winner of the race will be the new champion.
Exactly right. Matt, thanks again, bud. We appreciate you, and tell your staff and everybody we appreciate everything they do for the final race of the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series.
All right, take it easy, guys.
All right, see you, Matt. Okay, that was President Miami Homestead Speedway, Matt Bircher. Okay, Stephen, we went over. We talked about the penalties. Matt done awesome. He stayed on longer than what he wanted to. We still got Todd hanging in mute. I haven't done the trivia question. Stephen, what do you say we play a little song and take a break for about 3 or 4 minutes? Is that okay with you?
Yes. I think we need to just for a second here.
Yeah, we need to gather our thoughts, because we still got a lot to talk about. The number to call in is 215-383-3681. We will be giving away a signed hero card from Cameron Haley here shortly. We're going to step aside for a moment. We'll be right back to the pit stop with Tim Despain and Stephen Wilson. We'll be right back.
man, you can be the greatest. You can be the best. You can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world. You can beat the war. You can talk the guy, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up. You can beat the clock. You can move a mountain. You can break rocks. You can be a master. Don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go find yourself.
Standing in the hall of fame. Yeah. And the world.
Straight through hell with a smile. You could be the hero. Get the gold. Breaking all the records you thought never could be broke. Yeah, do it for your people. Do it for your pride. You're never gonna know if you never even try. Do it for your country. Do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're
standing in the hall of fame.
Yeah.
And the world.
Okay, we're back. Degonation live with Tim Spain and alongside us, Stephen Wilson, StephenWilliamsDigest.com. Stephen, you still got me, but.
I got you.
I want to go ahead and read the trivia question off, and we're going to jump into leave all that news going on. We got to get into the NASCAR Temple World Truck Series and how everything else finished. But the trivia question for a signed hero card from Cameron Haley is. Where is Cameron Haley's hometown? Stephen, man, you already talked about this. You said it was a good one. I'll repeat it one more time. Where is Cameron Haley's hometown? And then I'm going to jump over into some NASCAR Camping World Truck Series stuff if I can find it here. And the race winner, Matt Crafton, won the 17th Daniel Kroger 200, his 10th victory in 358. NASCAR Camp World Truck Series races. This is his 5th victory and 16th top 10 finish in 2015. This is his 2nd victory and 16th top 10 finish in 28 races at Martin Speedway. John Hunter Nemechek finished 2nd. Posted his 1st top 10 finish in 5 races at Martin Speedway. It is his 8th top 10 finish in 2015. Cameron Haley finished 3rd. Posted his 1st top 10 finish in 2 races at Martin Speedway. John Hunter Nemechek, who finished 2nd, was the highest finishing rookie. And Eric Jones leads the point standings by 10 points over Matt Crafton. And a little point deal there. We're getting a little bit close on that there, Stephen. With a few races left. Top 10, Eric Jones, Matt Crafton, Tyler Reddick, Johnny Sauter, Timothy Peters, Cameron Haley, Daniel Hemric, John Westtanley, Ben Kennedy, and round out your top 10 is Spencer Gallagher. do you have anything you want to talk about on the Camp War Truck Series for you go with the Cup stuff? But you got the floor.
Nah, not much in the Camp War Truck Series. We're really just coming down to the end on this. Three more races to go. Three triple header weekends here at Texas, Phoenix, and Homestead to round the year out. You know, in the Truck Series there, it's really a tight points battle out there out front with those three guys, but we'll have to see how it all plays out here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we will. We're going to Texas, but all three series are going to be out there. But before we go to Texas, let's talk about the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series at Martinsville Speedway in the Goodyear Headache Relief Shot 500. Can you hear me, Steven?
Got me, bud.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, I got you. Sorry about that.
I'm sorry about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got you. Sorry about that. Oh, yeah. So, Half Mile Mayhem lived up to its name. The Goodyear Headache Relief Shot 500. I'm sure somebody out there probably needed some of them headache relief shots when that day was finished. But at the end of the day, Jeff Gordon won his 93rd NASCAR Sprint Cup Series event in 794 attempts, locking himself into his driver five at Homestead Miami Speedway here in just a couple of weeks. This is his first victory in 2015, his ninth victory, and 37th top 10 finish in 46 races at Martinsville Speedway. Jimmy McMurray finished second, and his 14th top 10 finish in 26 events there at Martinsville Speedway, and his 9th top 10 finish of 2015. Danny Hamlin keeps his 2015 championship hopes alive with third place finish, and Jeb Burton is your highest finishing rookie out there in 27th. Unfortunately, a couple other guys out there didn't do so well in the day. Obviously, Joey Logano finishing 37th after his entanglement with Matt Kenseth out there. Matt Kenseth finishing 38th. A couple other guys throughout the field. Kyle Busch keeping his hopes alive in 5th. Kevin Harvick 8th. A couple other guys. Carl Edwards 14th out there. So we've got a good points battle out there going on. Jeff Gordon out there in the lead. Kyle Busch, Martin Truex. Kevin Harvick, Carl Edwards, Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch, Joey Logano. Danny Hamlin isn't in the chase. My fault on that. I thought that he was still in it. My fault on that.
It's been a long week, bud. A lot of stuff going on. You go ahead.
Yeah, it has been a long week. I thought that Denny Hamlin was still in this thing. Apparently, he's not in it anymore. That's my fault on that one. Apparently, Kyle Busch and Carl Edwards are the only two left over at Joe Gibbs Racing left. So I'm trying to keep all this thing straight, but it's been a long week. But Jeff Gordon out there keeping that he waited way late in the season to make this thing happen. But at least he's going to have that chance come Homestead here in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah. And, you know, Steven, just to touch on what you and I do on the radio, you taught me last week. I mean, you know, I had my mind on something else, and the trivia question last week was about the Timothy Peters car. You know, I said, what year did Timothy Peters make his NASCAR Sprint Cup Series debut? I mean, you know, you get your mind on something, and, you know, that's why we got two heads doing this.
Yeah. That's true. You sometimes you mess up a little bit, but that's all right. Keep right on going. It ain't no big deal.
Yeah, that's just like what Woody Kane told me last year when I was going to go to work for Thunder 92, or this year in the spring race there. I was going to pit report for Thunder 92.7, and you know, Woody Kane gave me some points. He said, "Tim, if you mess up, just keep on going. Don't nobody know."
Yeah, well, that's true,
yeah.
But, you know, that was a little slip-up on my part, and I'll admit it. Yeah, oh, well, we'll just keep right on going with this thing.
You're fine, Steven. That's what they call live radio. And the phone lines have lit up about the trivia. And Todd, you ain't gonna believe this. Todd Biggs is the first one again. And I've made the statement. Whoever's the first one, you know, Todd dropped earlier, and then he called right back in. So let's bring Todd back in and see if he knows the answer to the trivia question. Okay, Todd, you're back with Tim Spain, Stephen Wilson, Pit Stop Radio. Do you have a, do you need me to ask? Excuse me, me and Steve had a long wait. Do you need me to ask a question again, Todd, or do you know the answer?
No, sir, I do know the answer.
Okay, what is it, Todd?
Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Todd, I guess you've won again. You're the winner of the signed hero card for Mr. Cameron Haley, NASCAR Camper World Truck Series. So Suzanne still has all the mail and stuff still the same, right?
Yep.
Okay. You about to cost me a bunch of 50-cent stamps. I'm going to send you a bill. All right, Todd, do you have any last thoughts?
I just want to thank you, Susan, Stephen, everybody involved in the Pit Stop Radio, on the very awesome job that you guys do.
Todd, thank you very much. Stephen?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I didn't hear all of his comments because he was cutting out there.
Okay, he just wanted to... He was thanking you and I and Suzanne and everybody with the Pit Stop Radio and Speedway Digest for everything that we do. And well, I was telling him, thank you for being a great supporter and follower.
Oh, well, I appreciate it a lot. Thanks, Todd, for listening.
All right, appreciate you, Todd. Stephen, let me go ahead and I know we're getting late into the show. Awesome show again, but just want to go over the schedule there at Texas Motor Speedway this weekend, Friday. The Truck Series Windstar World Casino and Resort 350. All times is Eastern, 8:30 p.m. MRN has your radio. Fox Sports 1 has your TV. Saturday, Xfinity Series, O'Reilly Auto Parts Challenge, 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. PRN has your radio. NBC has your TV. And Sunday, Sprint Cup Series, AAA Texas 500, 2 p.m. Eastern Time. PRN has your radio. NBC has your TV. Stephen, any last thoughts before we sign off?
Yeah, I think we covered a whole lot tonight out there. You know, we've got Texas this weekend, really just coming down to the end of the season out here. Texas, a wide-open track out there, even being a mile-and-a-half racetrack. This thing has multiple grooves out there. Very fast track out there, but triple-header weekend, starting with the trucks, the Xfinity, and the Sprint Cup Series there on Sunday. So, should be an enjoyable show out there, and then we're going to head up Phoenix a week after that, so I'm sure we'll have a lot to talk about. And by the time we get to next week's show, we should know what's going to happen with Matt Kenseth and in his appeals, which I'm sure we'll know before this weekend out there. It's, fortunately, I think we've made all the comments I think we can make on that, and we're just going to have to move on to Texas.
Amen, Brother Stephen. It's the nature of the beast. And just the way it is, that's the way it is. Stephen, thank you very much for being a good friend and being a part of the show and everything and helping everybody out. Tell AM and the boys we said hello. And then we'll talk at you later, bud. And ladies and gentlemen, good night from Dega Nation in Talladega, Alabama.
Well, it's a long way to Richmond. North on 95, with a redhead riding shotgun and a pistol by my side, tearing down that highway like a modern day Bonnie and Clyde. We may. I was gassing up my fire.
tearing down that highway like a modern day Bonnie and Clyde. Our ride. Yeah.